In his new book, While America Aged, best-selling journalist Roger Lowenstein explores how and why corporations and governments made ruinous pension and health care promises to American workers. Those promises are now coming due, and they threaten to hit the U.S. like a tsunami. WMNF spoke with Lowenstein, who also writes the New York Times Magazine, yesterday. We began by asking him about the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation, or PBGC, a federal agency created to defend the integrity of companies' pension plans by pledging to make good on any that should go bust. Unfortunately, the PBGC is finding itself severely stressed.
The PBGC is $19 billion in the red as of when this book went to press, and with this decline in the stock market, it's surely more in the red now. And what that means is that it's just one more insurer that's made promises that doesn't have enough resources to cover. And someone like the savings and loan, the organization that guaranteed against failures in the savings and loan organization itself needed to bail out in the late 1980s.
Your book is about how the pension system in this country went badly off course, and you examine three different entities, General Motors, the New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority, and the City of San Diego. Examining those pension plans as you do, as closely as you do in this book, were the people who were involved with this, were they just in denial, or were they ignorant and not realizing that the promises made were going to put those organizations in financial stress?
You know, that's a very good question, and obviously I focused on 3A because they're interesting and compelling, and I think it brings these three cases bring the studies into a human dimension that the average reader can follow. In the case of San Diego, for sure, some of the officials knew very well what they were doing. They were using pension fund monies, or money that should have been contributed to the pension fund, to do things like give benefits to sports teams so they wouldn't leave town, and dress up city parks, and try to build a new library. And in other words, they were using pension money to substitute for the tax base. And that is something that, in some cases, knowingly and cynically, as they did in San Diego, and in some cases, perhaps less consciously, legislators have been doing throughout the country.
Your chapter on General Motors is absolutely fascinating when you look and get into the origins of basically the labor movements in this country in the last century here. And you write a lot about a man by the name of Walter Reuther. Is that how you pronounce
it? Walter Reuther.
Walter Reuther. One of the things we learn about Reuther is that it was always important for labor and management to be on the same team, because if the company didn't succeed, obviously workers wouldn't be compensated. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Mr. Reuther and his evolution here?
You know, I'm glad you asked. And it's important to recognize, because the book criticizes unions in latter decades for going overboard with pensions and benefits and contributing to the demise of companies like General Motors. But in the early days, certainly early decades of this century, unions were very necessary, and workers were not being taken care of. Reuther was a son of a German social democrat back in the years of late 19th century, early 20th century, when Europe already had things like state pensions, in many cases social insurance or health care for the aged, and America did not. And Reuther fought for these things in the United States. He became head of the United Auto Workers, and after World War II in particular, he went to the big three companies in Detroit. But he made a very interesting pitch, which I think almost could have changed the course of history. He said to them, to GM, to Chrysler, Ford, look, you folks don't really want to handle this pensions, health care. It's too much for you. And it's better for the federal government to do it. And besides, Reuther, like most labor leaders of that day, saw himself as representing all workers, and he wanted these benefits for everybody. So he said, let's you and I together, you the companies and we labor, go down to Washington and fight for this for all Americans. And in fact, Truman did propose a national health care back in 1947, but business wanted no part of it, including the auto companies wanted no part of it. And that moment passed, and so we got in its stead this patchwork system where some companies gave pensions, some didn't, some later on 401ks, some not too generous, some health care, some not. And in many ways, the very big problems we're dealing with today are the legacy of the failure of the country to pick up on Reuther's dream.
We're speaking with Roger Lowenstein. He's the author of the new book, While America Aged. Roger, in 1973, the United Auto Workers won full pensions for early retirees, a plum known as 30 and out. You write that this was an extraordinary expansion of private welfare. How so?
Well, the old idea of pensions was they were a lure to keep people on the job, because the longer you worked, the richer your pension was. And companies actually offered pensions without being forced to by unions, companies such as IBM, Kodak, precisely for that reason, so that that have stability and longevity in their workforce. Now, with 30 and out, a guy would very often in Detroit, Flint, Michigan, places like that, Youngstown, Ohio, and so on, Toledo, big auto towns, go to work 17, 18, work for 30 years. And, you know, now he's retiring 47, 48, 51. And instead of, say, working until his early, mid-60s, 30 or 40 years, and then being retired for 10 years or so, suddenly the company is going to be on the hook to care for this person from, what do we say, late 40s, early 50s, quite possibly, as people are living longer, another 30 years or more. Quite possibly the company is going to be giving this guy a pension for longer than he actually worked. And this really flips around the equation. Suddenly, pensions become a very significant burden, particularly so when this 30-and-out or early retirement was mimicked in the public sector by municipalities, state governments, and so on, because their pensions tend to be more generous. And early retirement was given at an even younger age. And by the way, you know, I should add that auto workers, steel workers, you can understand why they'd want to retire, if not at 50, at least at 60. But it's hard to see why government actuaries or school teachers, desk sergeants, and so on, would have to retire in their late 40s. But in the public sector, they do. And it's resulted in a very big problem for governments, just as it did for General Motors.